When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and we got one of the dopest up-and-coming artists out of L.A. in the studio today. We got Lambo Foe in the building. How you doing, man? Yeah,
we in the building, man. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm excited. Happy to have you in here.
I'm excited, too.
So, okay, you know who's going to be mad at me about this interview? Or happy, I don't know.
Who?
Gooch.
Gooch.
Because Gooch been hitting me, telling me to interview you for a minute.
Yeah.
But I remember the last time he hit me up, I fucking searched your name, and I don't even think you had, like, you didn't have the self-esteem shit up.
Yeah.
No, like I think the audio was out, the video wasn't out.
Yeah, the video wasn't out. I had a lot of the other songs out, but the only song that people probably knew me for was Project Buildings.
Right.
Yeah, but I ain't think Project Buildings.
This is kind of a totally different level in terms of popularity, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, it's changed my life.
But so then now you're working with Eli. Eli hits me up and puts it all together, and I'm like, oh, shit, all right, this actually does seem like the right time probably right now because you got the chopper buzzing and everything. So, yeah, definitely. Gooch is going to be like, I told you. I'm already looking forward to it.
He told me that he had talked to you at, I think, No Cap Show.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, I ain't even going to lie to you. A lot of people was telling me for a while that it probably ain't time for you to do it. Let's wait. So I'm cool with that too. You know.
Well, it was pretty impressive because I was just looking through my DMs and I seen that you sent me years ago. You sent me like 100 videos of different chicks singing along to your.
Yeah, for sure. Because I was working, bro. I've been promoting this song for a long time, bro. Because I've been knowing like you gotta grow it, and then a lot of artists nowadays they post a song and then they be like move on to the next thing. But I feel like artists back in the day, like Michael Jackson and Prince and all these type of people, Future and Lil Durk, Lil Baby, all them, like, they take their time. Like, they got masterpieces, like, the videos from the song is an experience, like, more than just, oh, I'm just rapping.
Yeah, I think you should make a million songs, like, record as much as possible. Yeah. But then in terms of releasing it, I think you should be very careful with it because, like, you know what I think of as my man Desto Dub is, like, he didn't put out 5 million different shirt designs. He found one shirt design and then just did mad colors, freaked it, did little collabs, whatever. But at the end of the day, he didn't try to have 50 cool designs. He tried to have like one design and just hammer that home over and over and over. I think that's the way to do it when you're getting started.
Exactly. And then like, just like what you just said, like I think from that perspective, and when I do think from that perspective, I think like, okay, I ain't trying to come with a song. Like I'm more so coming with a sound over time, and it's getting better, and I'm perfecting it to where now, okay, they know this is my sound. When you hear this Lambo, when you hear this, you know my sound. So that's what I was mainly trying to do, because I was about to sign a deal with Project Buildings, and I had every label, even I had Alamo, I had a lot of labels. That's the label Greedo signed to, Alamo.
Yeah, Alamo.
And I just waited, because I'm like, okay, I see people signing deals. I know I could sign a deal. That's cool. But if I ain't really known in my city, I don't really got a core fan base, then I ain't going to really be, like, more so, I could say respected. Because it's like, okay, they don't even really play him in the city, so why we going to take him serious? So
that's true.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're an artist coming up out of a city, you kind of like your first videos and like, I've seen artists come out in their first videos in some crazy million-dollar-looking studio or mansion or whatever, and I'm like, it made me realize, like, damn, when you're rolling an artist out, they kind of need to see you where you're from to start this out.
Yeah, because you taking away the experience. Like, you taking away the experience of people seeing you become something that you wasn't before. You becoming an inspiration to people once you come from the bottom and you make it out, because now they feel like, damn, if he did that, I could do that too. That's why more so, like, I never came out with projecting that I had all the money and stuff like that, and I was just the richest person, or rapping about the rich stuff. Man, I'm rapping about the stuff that I'm going on. I'm like, I'm rapping all in my music, like, not like I'm trying to kill people or I'm promoting violence or, you know, gang banging shit. I'm singing and rapping about the reality of that's going on, because I'm moving through this trying to survive and actually make it at the same time.
But so tell me a little bit about your upbringing, because you're from Watts, but like specifically what kind of area, how'd you come up?
So, okay, I was born in Linwood, California at St. Francis Hospital. And I grew up on the 103rd. I actually lived on 103rd, right across, right. My backyard was the train tracks. Like, I lived on 103rd in a new home apartments in the Blue Gates. They call them Blue Gates. And my window and stuff, I could see the train tracks. I could see the watch towers a little bit, but just the tip of them. And I'd be in right there in the Blue Gates, and I'd go to the Peach Gates, and then I would go to 102nd. So sometimes, like, after school, instead of me staying at the after-school program, my mom think I'm at the after-school program, I go into projects and I'll be playing football and stuff and all that. And so my dad and my mom, they from the Jordan Down Projects too. And my granny and all my grandpa, my grandpas, everybody, like all my family from right there. And so, like, I went to school over there with everybody. And my dad lived over there, but my mom moved. She moved to Moreno Valley because she was like, it was a lot of people dying, and I was seeing a lot of people dying and stuff like that.
When
and
you were at a real young age.
Really young age, mm-hmm. And then I would get suspended and stuff for like that, for bringing like toy guns and stuff to school and stuff like that. So she seen like I was basically becoming what my environment outside was. And I had to tell my mom to where, like, okay, she not taking me outside to play. She like, go outside to play. I'm way somewhere else, and I'm like 8 years old, like, you know, because my mind already know that. She know that my mind prepared to where if I see somebody or somebody trying to take me or something, I ain't gonna let nobody take me. And she know that I'll be around people that where I ain't just thinking like just dumb to where something could happen to me like that. So I'll be doing that. And so my mom moved to Moreno Valley to the IE, and like I would stay out there with my grandma on the west side on 62nd in Vermont. And I would go to school over there on Butlong. And I went to Butlong Elementary. And I was going to school out there with my grandma for 2 years because I didn't want to go to Moreno Valley. And my mama didn't want to leave me in Watts with my daddy because he still lived on, at this time, he was living on Wilmington 119th in the Mona Parks. And she didn't want me to go over there, so she sent me with my granny. I was going to church and stuff like that. And so, like, that's why I kind of got, like, a sense, like, to where I could focus on things and stuff like that. But after I lived with my granny for a little bit, she sent me back to Moreno Valley because my granny, like, you can't just leave him out here. Just steal your son, like. And so I went to Moreno Valley, and how I was out here in L.A., like, I'd do bad shit, and they wouldn't send me home. But when I went to Moreno Valley, it was a different ball game. Like, I went out there, it was just different, and the teacher did something to me, and I pushed the teacher over the desk, and I got expelled from the Moreno Valley school district.
And you wouldn't have got expelled for that in L.A.?
No, I wouldn't have got expelled for that in L.A. They probably would have grabbed me, and I would have probably stood in the corner or sat in the office all day.
Yeah.
But I for sure got my ass whooped when I got home, so I would have been prolonging it. And sometimes I was so smart, bro. I get on the train because I know my dad's house is only down the street. It's one stop. I get on the train, bro, sneak on the train. And they ain't looking at me like, oh, where your train pass? Like, where your ticket? And I get off and I ride my scooter all the way down to my dad's house because I'm avoiding ass whooping. And one time my mom actually came to my dad's house and got me. So it was just a whole bunch of, like, I was doing bad shit, and I got expelled from Moreno Valley School District. And so my mama was about to they took me to juvenile hall, and then they was about to take me, they said I could go to juvenile hall, or I could go to a probation school that was right across the street from juvenile hall. But when I got with my mama, we got to the school, and, like, she was like, you want to go here? And I just told her, like, send me here, I'm be worse. Like, cause I know, like, I ain't finna go for that, like, too much stuff. Like, so she sent me back out here in LA, and I went back with my granny for a little bit, but I live with my dad sometimes. My dad moved closer back to Watts and Watts, like, cause that was like kind of like Wilmington kind of going into Compton where he lived at first. But then he lived in Wilmington, Orange, where Roddy Ricch them from, too. So I know a lot of people from over there, too. And then he moved to 107th, where the Watchtowers is, and I live right there with him.
All right, guys, I just needed to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Sword Vitality. I need you to know that self-care is cool and that self-care is manly. You should be proud to take care of yourself. 40% of men are affected by impotence at age 40, and nearly 70% of men are affected at age 70. You need to stop buying highly suspect pills in gas stations. No more hiding that little blue pill in your sock drawer. Sword Vitality will increase your blood flow in ways that will have you thriving as a man. If you aren't experiencing erections in the morning, it might be time for you to become a Sword Vitality man. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It should be as normal as having a conversation with your spouse and saying, I like to go hiking, I like to play football, and I use Sword Vitality. The three main benefits. Number one, you increase blood flow in ways that help you thrive as a man in the bedroom. Number two, Sword Vitality can help increase your stamina. And number three, you don't have to hide it. You can be proud of it. Visit Sword Vitality and enter in No Jumper, one word, at checkout to receive a nice discount on your first order. That's swordvitality.com and enter in No Jumper on your first order. But when you're talking about getting in trouble at that age, you're kind of talking about, you know, pushing your teacher or like bringing a toy gun to school or whatever. Like, were you just kind of fucking around, or did it seem like, shit was really that serious outside for you at that point in your life? Like, were you really exposed to like how bad the streets could get super early on?
Yeah, because I was already like, I'd be on the block with people that's twice my age. And, you know, sometimes, like to this day, if I was to decide to go back to Watts and hang out, I'm hanging out with people that hung out with my daddy and my mom and them. So it's like, it's still going to be that. And when I was a kid, bro, that's the reason why I was doing shit the way, reason I was doing, because I felt like I was a gangster at a young age. And my mind was so fast. Like, I remember a lot of people, my mom and friends and my aunties and shit, oh, he too grown, bro.
You were just around so many people that were on the gangster shit that, like, you figured, yeah, I'm part of this. Or, yeah. But did that kind of fuck you up in the head, because the reality of that is a lot of fucking responsibility?
Yeah, because it made me not want to listen to people. It made me not want to listen to people because I felt like I knew it all, you know? And so when I came back out here with my dad, my cousin and them that I was hanging out with, they start going to jail and shit. Like, and they was going to jail for shit they wasn't doing and shit. And I was around them and shit. And I remember the last time I was at my dad's house, my stepmom, he lived with my stepmom, and I left and I went to Summer Nightlights in the projects. She couldn't find me. Like, she like, I don't know where you at. And I popped up. My auntie dropped me back off. Popped up. She like, I'm seeing your ass back with your mama. I went back home. Now, I ain't never come back to Watts until I got like 16 when my dad died. And I was out there in the IE. And that's how I know like a lot of rappers and shit like that out there, because I was able to see both sides of life, you know?
So you seen like the inner city and then what it's kind of like to be off in the burbs a little bit more?
Yeah, I seen what it's like. Okay, now I could walk down the street, because when I was in Watts, I could walk down the street, but I didn't really fully understand why things that I was hanging out with that was older than me couldn't walk down the street the same way as me.
But so even though you're from where you're from and you're associated with these people, it wasn't serious enough that you're feeling like you're a target if you're just walking around?
Yeah, I never felt like that, because in my mind, I used to always tell my dad, oh, I ain't never going to be a gangbanger. I ain't never going to be that.
And did he want that for you?
No, he ain't want. He told me always, like, no, be different from me. Be different from me. I remember at one time, like, this is how I know, like, they didn't really want my life to be how it was going. Because I remember one time I was living with my dad, and it'd be crackheads coming to the door buying crack. And they would call him Chocolate and shit like that. And, man, it got to the point where, like, I got to really seeing that. And I really, like, so my mama snatched me back up. She made me stay out there. So I went back out there and tried to do it again. Got expelled. But this time I got expelled because I was actually doing shit because people, I was coming from L.A. And it was gangs out in Moreno Valley. And I didn't know. And over the time, I became friends with everybody. But it was young kids my age out there doing the same shit. So I ain't gonna lie, I got expelled because I had a metal BB gun and I shot some kids in their face in a school .
In their face? What, it was just a little argument that turned into that?
Yeah, like, I ain't gonna lie, I left.
What kind of range?
Like right here from where you were. Like, I was bad. Like, it was the time, dude. It was the time of my life to
you could have blinded them.
Yeah, I know. It was the time of my life where I was like, man, I don't know when I'm gonna start doing good stuff. Like, I felt like I had bad luck at one time. Like, this how, because I was going through so much shit and I didn't even really understand. And when I did that, I remember I left school, went back up there, because it was something to do with, okay, somebody was laughing at me about something, because a lot of times, like, I was raising myself because my mama had to go to work and stuff like that. So sometimes, like, during the week of school, like, I had certain outfits, but then I'll wash them, and some of them outfits be a part of my next week, like, you know, and I deal with that because now I'm in a valley around these different type of people, and now I ain't even used to this. Like, I'm used to being around people that just like me, like, that don't care about certain things and stuff like that. So when I went out there, I'm like, okay, fuck, that happened, and I left. And then I had my Mexican friend, his name was Juan. He the one that had the BB guns. So I'm like, man, I'm telling him, because at that time, I was, my reality when I'm leaving from Watts, I was really like that. Like, I was listening to Lil Boosie and shit like that. That was what, because I was my raw reality. And then my big cousins, my dad, and I'm still going around that. So I'm coming back to Reno Valley feeling like I'm, you know. And I did that, and, like, that's the first time I really had experience with the police, like, to where, like, I got scared. And I remember after I did it, I went back home, and I was about to cook a Thai ramen. And I went upstairs and looked at my mama, like, I'm like, mama, what you doing? And I went back downstairs because I tried to throw her off, like, because I'm like, ooh, I know I just did some bad shit. I wonder if she found out. And, man... A couple of minutes later, I think my mama's boyfriend and his friends was in the garage. They was smoking, so the whole garage was foggy as shit. Like, mm-hmm. They was smoking bong and all that. So police pull up. They like, oh, shit. He run in the house, like, tell my mama, oh, you see all these police outside, all that. And I'm like, fuck. I'm about to get my ass whooped. I went outside. I seen my principal and shit, Mr. Walker. I'm like, God damn, like. That was fast. The police got me. They was acting like I really, like, had a real gun. I shot somebody, like, for real. Like, they, like, put your hands behind your back and handcuffed me. My mom was looking at me. I started crying. And then he walked me to the backyard. And I'm like, so where you put them at? I'm like, they under here. They under the bushes. So he, like, get them. And then he handcuffed me. I cried in there. I got him. I gave it to him. My mom's just looking at me like, no, I'm about to get fucked up. So I got in the house. She fucked me up. And then I'm like, damn. So I got expelled. Then I'm going to middle school. So I go to an actual probation school. It's called Bayside in Moreno Valley. And so now I'm ready with all the gangbangers and shit. So now I got to really fight people bigger than me and shit. So now I'm in a different position. Now she telling me, if somebody play with you, like, you, I don't care. Like, because she know I'm a fight, but she just giving me the okay to let me know, like, because she know, like, I might think, like, okay, I might not want to fight him because I might get my ass whooped if I go home. So she let me know, like, don't think I'm thinking like that.
Cause, right.
Because you in a whole different situation now. So I did that. I got in a couple fights, but I managed to make it out of that. And then when I got out of that, I lived in Moreno Valley until 11th, 12th grade. And I was going to school, and I go back to Watts during the summer, come back, and I wasn't getting in trouble at school, and I actually was able to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But I graduated early, see? All that time I was going to the charter schools and shit, all my credits was picking up faster than all the regular schools would. So when I went back to regular school, I was done before everybody was done. I was done my 11th grade year, but I was like, okay, I'm going to still go to school because I got my girlfriend. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to school with her because she was going to a different school. I'm like, go to school with her. My mom was tripping because I was already done. She let me go. When I did that, and after that, I just started coming back to L.A., like, surely but slowly, like, you know.
When you're away from L.A., does it feel, like, slow and boring in comparison? Because L.A.'s just always got some shit going on.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing I, like, because most people, like, when they talk about the IE, they try to downplay it, like, it's something different than L.A., but, bro, it's the same thing, like, bro, but it's just smaller now.
Mm.
Like, now, okay, now my only thing about IE, it's not as fast as L.A. to where, like, if you, it's a lot of violence going on to where you can't walk down the street and shit.
Mm.
So I could walk down the street in the IE, and I could go to the store and shit like that and do certain shit, but now when I go to the IE, watch how I move different because I know what's really going on out there.
Mm.
But look, people from L.A., they don't know. It's like, it's parts in IE to where it's not, it ain't, like, you don't just go right there, like, if you don't know nobody, like, for real, that's where it's five.
Right, because I was going to say, I saw another interview where you were talking about how you know them from before.
Yeah, I knew them.
Like, we're supposed to be interviewing them soon.
Yeah, like, and they see, I ain't the type of dude to where from, like, I was just friends with somebody and we just hung out every day.
Yeah.
But I knew of them, you know? And so, like, I knew my music was popping out there, and then I knew they would start doing music and shit out there, and I would see certain artists and shit like that out there, and I would run across them because we hang with the same people. We know that we went to school with the same people, like, so we all, like, intertwined. Like, I know people that hang with S5 that they knew me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people with S5 that's with R3, to where, like, Jeff, he managed both of them, but I remember being at parties with Jeff and all them, like, when they had their wave going, when they was in high school, you know, and I was in middle school, I was young, but it's, like, all intertwined, but, like, just like I said, they from two different sides,
right,
Moreno Valley, but these is two people, like, you feel me, but a lot of people don't know that unless people say it, so, yeah, I will know all these rappers and stuff out there, I'll be cool, but I'll be on some football shit out there, and then,
you were playing football all through high school?
Yeah, I was playing football. So I was like, I went to college for football, but I ain't want to stay out there because my mama couldn't really help me while I was out there. So I left. I ain't go.
What, just money was tight?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then, like, my dad had died. So it was like,
how'd your dad pass?
My dad passed because, like, my dad was like a drug dealer and he shit, but it's like over time he'll party and shit. So it was just like, all the wear and tear over time, and he was doing that shit for a long time, way before I was even born, with my big sister and shit like that. And they was really in the projects. They was doing different shit. Like, they was over there. Menace Society is based about them.
Really?
For real. Like, that's what they was really doing. They was jacking cars. They was getting high off sherm and robbing niggas, and they was selling drugs. I remember I heard stories about my daddy and them to where, like, they used to be on the roof. They used to have walkie-talkies and shit like that, bro. And then it was a point to where, like, my dad was dealing drugs when I was a baby, and he went to Portland, and they got caught with a lot of drugs out there, and they told him, they let him go. He can't never come back to Portland or some shit like that. So he missed my whole, when I was born, like, he wasn't even there. I didn't have a name for a couple days, like, and when he came back, that's when he seen me, and then that's how, I guess, when he stopped, like, really doing what he's doing, but he really never stopped really doing what he's doing.
Right.
Like,
so how did he actually pass, though?
He passed from, he went to prison. He went to prison for 3 years, and he had got some shit done to him in prison in his chest. And I guess, like, over time, from what they did, his artery, like, it started deteriorating and it ripped because he used to be, like, outside, and he used to pop pills and shit a lot. And I guess one day, like, he had called me, like, he was trying to call me, and I didn't answer. I don't know. It was kind of fucked up because, like, a lot of times, like, my dad talked to me, but, like, some shit that I see now, like, he'd say to me, like, I wouldn't really want to listen to him then. I kind of get mad at him because how he'd treat me, like, he always treat me like he made me feel like, that's why I'm a rapper now, because that's what he instilled in me, what he taught me and stuff. Like, I ain't really could understand it from how he was saying it to me, and I kind of got mad at him, and I ain't talked to him that day. And somebody else messaged me on Facebook, they told me, like, your dad in hospital, you might not make it. And, like, So I went down there, and my mama was like, it's going to be all right. And it was like, I don't really talk about it a lot, but my mom was like, it's going to be all right. He all right. But like, I'm like, man, damn. I know people that died. I'd seen my cousin die. My cousin that he died in the projects, he got shot. And
you were just there?
By one of his homies. I was with my dad. My dad walked over there, but I was in the car, but where I was at, I could see. And man, he got killed. I remember telling my cousin that going back home, man. We had church. I told my cousin, like, man, somebody killed your daddy. And his daddy just had got out of prison, too. And it was his daddy named Big BK. Mm-hmm. And it was like, man, that shit fucked me up. And then it was like, damn. Like, I remember going to the funeral when I was a kid and shit. And I'm looking at my cousin like, I don't really know how he feel. Like, I wonder really how he feel because his daddy died. And, man, I'm like, damn. Now, my daddy about to die. I'm saying it in my head. I got there and I got a voicemail on my phone. Like, he let me a voicemail. And, like, he just told me, like, whatever I do, like, just run it up. That's all he told me. Like, just do you. Don't be like me. Run it up. And I got to the hospital, and I seen him. And he was dead. So I was like, that shit fucked me up inside. Like, that's why I be like, I don't open up to a lot of people. Like, I'm secretive. I only fuck with my folks. Like, I don't fuck with a lot of people because I know, like, life ain't fair, like, and I know. And that, after that shit happened to me, that shit changed my life because it made me to where now I got to take care of myself. So in high school and shit, I would sell weed and shit, like, and I hide it down by the football field. And then after lunch, like, when people changing periods, the PE doors would be open to the locker rooms and shit. And I go up in there and I sell my little weed and shit just to be able to buy Jordans and shit, like, because I know that I'm in high school and shit, and, like, I was popular, so I had to always, like, make sure, like, I'm that, like, and I do shit like that. And then, like, I remember my mama have a boyfriend and shit, and my mom, I didn't really get along with my mom's boyfriend and shit, so I used to rob him and take his shit and do, like, little shit, like.
Rob him, like, to his face?
No,
you just take his shit?
I rob him, like, but he'll have, like, little pounds of weed and shit like that. But I'd be dipping in that shit.
I'm picturing you, like, putting the burner to his face. I'm like, damn, no, that'd, like, be tough for your mom's boyfriend.
Yeah, and I do, like, that shit. And just because I know, like, man, I'm on my own now. Like, my mama do little shit for me. But the way she'd try to do it, it'd be not how I want it. Like, my mama try to take me to certain stores, and it'd be like, I can't wear that. My mama give me some money, and she thinking this is satisfying my mind. Like, she'd give me, like, $200, be like, this for your school clothes. And I'd be like, I can't do shit with this. Like, but I never tell my mom that because I never want to hurt her feelings. So I just do that and go other ways. And I figured it out. And it kept me popular to the point where now I got like this. But I remember, when I seen my dad, though, that shit changed my life, though. Because, man, it just let me know, like, man, everything when I at his funeral, because his funeral was right across the street from the projects.
Mm.
And I remember being here that day, and the pastor told me, like, one day I'm going to understand why this had to happen. And, like, I understand why it had to happen, because I think if it didn't happen, I wouldn't be this right now.
Mm.
Like, I'd be somewhere playing football or some shit.
But, okay, seeing your dad pass, did it make you really think about, like, how a lot of his life choices in terms of the drugs and just living wild, that kind of, like, played into it? Because to me, that's kind of, like, the main thing I would be thinking about is just, like, damn, I don't want to make the same mistakes he did.
Yeah, I kind of did, but, bro, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. For a long time, I was mad at the world, bro. Like, I'd be mad at my mama. Like, I'd be mad at everybody. Like, I'd be depressed. Yeah. A lot of time, just mad, bro. So I think, over time, once I did leave high school and I start actually doing music and shit with my cousins and shit like that, and I start come back out here and watch, it was like, okay, at some point in time, I start to really think, like, all right, I'm my daddy again, like, because I'm out here, I'm doing the same shit he doing. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, like, I'm over here doing this because I know I could come over here because I'm trying to tell my story, my real story about myself. So I never had a problem with going over there because all my family from there, they always over there. So I ain't never had to worry about nothing happening or shit like that. But over like time, I come back and I slowly, surely, okay, my music this now, okay.
Well, so when they said to you that your dad had to die for what was going to happen afterwards, you took that as that you were going to change so much as a person and that the music was going to become part of it? Like, did the music just, like, crystallize in your mind as your father passed?
Yeah, because, like, I remember when my daddy used to be alive, he wanted me to play football and shit. Mm. But my mom wanted me to dance and do little shit like that and be in talent shows and shit. My grandma and them wanted me to be in talent shows and shit. So I be in talent shows and shit. When my grandma and she had her church but my daddy wasn't really for that. Like, he wanted me to be something else. Like, he wanted me to be, so at some point I had to realize my dad was trying to live through me. So I'm like, oh, okay. My daddy was like, he ain't never made it to the NFL, but he really wanted to go to the NFL.
Right.
So at first, I didn't like football when I played for the Wash Rams, but then when I got to, okay, left, and I had to go play football in Moreno Valley now, okay, I really like it now. I started getting really good. But then it was like, okay, now I'm like, I got to change my mindset because, like, I knew this when I got out of high school and I didn't really want to do football no more. I was like music, so I started really, okay, I'm about to start back rapping. Because I was rapping and probably when Dex and them came out and shit, I was rapping like them and shit, but...
You were influenced by Famous Dex?
Like, at a certain time, like...
Oh,
that,
what?
That wave, yeah.
Oh, what?
That drip from my walk.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That made me want to, like, okay, I could be a rapper now. I remember we...
Part
of
me wants to pop a perk and listen to that song all day. a small part of me, but there's a little part of me.
So I remember, like, we paid for a video with Locka Films and shit like that, and we was
shout out Locka.
We was working and shit, and I remember we was there, and I told Locka, call Dex on the phone. We gonna pay for the feature, and we went to Dex's house. He had a little apartment and shit. We was in the studio with him and all that. Like, I was acting like, what you be doing out here? He like, I don't be doing nothing. I'm a rapper. We don't do nothing. I can't go nowhere. Like, so then after that, I'm like, okay. I was rapping with my boy, but then I had we had a little group, but we went our separate ways, and so I kept rapping and I kept applying pressure. And I'm like, okay, I kept trying to, like, I knew that from moving with my folks them, I knew that, okay, it ain't really about, it's about who you could get up with. Like, if you could get with them and get in to work in your favor, you could get somewhere. Like, so I always push that mindset, like, okay, I'm going to build myself up by the people I come in contact with, and I'm going to help it make me stronger. Like, and over time, it did that, and I built good relationships with people. And that's when I came back to the projects and shit. More so not saying I came back to the projects because I didn't come to the projects and need anyone in the projects to do what I'm doing. But so more so, like, that's when I started dealing with Gooch. Gooch wasn't in, out of even jail.
Right.
So it was in the projects. It was me and Gooch just communicating. We doing shit. We busting little plays and shit like that.
And let's be real. In L.A., if you're affiliated with somebody like Gooch, or if you're, you know, from somewhere, like, where you're from or whatever, that goes a long way.
Yeah, that
that's like in
way.
The first conversation about a person, like, oh, he fucks with so-and-so, yeah. You know.
And because a lot of people say a lot of shit about certain people, but, like, yeah, you gotta just know, like, and, like, but as I keep going, like, okay, so at a certain point, Gooch helped me in my career, so I was like, okay, I kept it solid with him, and I just kept pushing, and now I'm to the point where now Gooch ain't a part of my team no more, and I ain't really doing shit with Gooch, but he still look out for me and talk in my favor because he know that I ain't going to be in no rooms talking down on him, you know?
Okay.
So a lot of people respect me and that shit is going a long way. So a lot of older people, they don't got no problem with doing nothing for me because how I carry myself, you know?
But what year are we talking that you first started really doing your thing musically? Because when I hear that Project Buildings, it kind of reminds me like, oh, he must have definitely been influenced by Greedo at the time.
Yeah, 2019. Like, I'm not going to lie. When I first came out with Project Buildings, I was like, drama game. Because in an ideal mindset, I'm like, okay, I'm from Watts. And I ain't one of these people that's like, I'm not, it's not like sitting in the projects just dwelling on certain shit that I'm supposed to. And so when I was like, okay, Greedo in jail, I'm going to keep it rolling instead of looking like, okay, he got his own separate shit. But why he ain't really fucking with him, like, and acknowledging. So that's why I did that part. Like, I never really talked to Greedo because when I was being watching shit like that, I used to see him at little birthday parties and shit like that and see him. But it was like, at the time, like, I'm not really thinking like, oh, okay, I'm finna make it in music right now. So when it really happened for him, it was like, oh, okay, damn, he made it happen. But it was, he was older than me, so it's like, okay, I understand why this happening. And then certain shit I wouldn't do, like, you know, so I would be like.
Because when Greedo came in, everybody was like, oh, like, for a long time, it felt like people from over there were kind of blacklisted or blackballed from the industry to a certain extent.
Yeah, because.
There's all kinds of history about that.
Yeah, because it's like, a lot of times people don't want to let people into their space because they fear of what may occur.
Right.
Like, if I do let my guard down with you, and for the most part, some people are smart, like, about not letting people in, because as a successful person, as you move up, you got to protect your brand. You can't just be putting yourself in positions to where shit can happen to you, like, and people got to understand that's what comes with the responsibility, like, and, yeah, it was like that, because I remember, I think they used to fuck up Summer Jam and shit one year and all that type of shit. But
yeah,
like that was a different time period.
Very different time. Yeah.
That was time period when, okay, the project was way different, bro. If the project was like that right now, bro, it'd probably still be that same. They'd be saying the same shit, bro, because it was way more serious, you know. And it was like, over time period, things get better and things grow. Like, that's a good part about it. But for the most part, it was blackball. And then Greedo came in. And then, for the most part, Greedo didn't even really get all the time to really become what he was supposed to become at the time.
It was still definitely the beginning of his career. Like, the night before he went in, he was in the studio all night with Lil Uzi and Smoke Perp and Lil Pump and all these people. Like, he was having some of the biggest names fuck with him at that time.
Yeah.
Remember Drake posted him, like, a few months before he went in?
I remember Kylie Jenner and them posted him, and I'm like, damn, he going up. And it was like, he was going through a lot of shit over there, too. Like, and he was going through, he was like, you got to know. Greedo didn't, like, a lot of people that be making it, they don't have all the necessary tools to make it. Unfortunately, he did meet some people that he could bring understanding to his shit and get like this, bro. But for the most part, like, I did that with Greedo. He shared my video, Project Buildings, and, like, I was thankful for that. But, like, after that, like, he wouldn't fuck with me no more because, I guess he was mad at Gooch or some shit like that, and he was basically he ain't fucking with nobody that's fucking with Gooch. But it was like, for the most part, when I started fucking with Gooch, I didn't know that Greedo and Gooch was mad at each other at the time, and it was like, so it kind of like fucked up an early relationship with me and Greedo. But I talked to him one time on the phone when he was in prison. He was like, man, bro, I ain't hating on you. Like, I ain't tripping off you or nothing like that. But yeah, I understand that, though, because for the most sake, it's like, you can't, if you ain't messing with somebody and I'm messing with them, of course you ain't gonna mess with me because I'm messing with them. So I understand that. But I try not to really get into people's stuff like that. Like, and when that happened, like, I kind of fell back from both of them, like, because I'm like, I ain't gonna be the person that unite y'all to be mad at each other more.
That's awkward being in the middle of it.
Yeah, because it's like,
and you're just trying to focus on your career and shit.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make music, bro. And it's like, I don't even be thinking that hard about the shit. Like, and so, like, when I talk to Greedo like that, he ain't ever messed with me after that. Like, and it's cool because I still post his music on my story and all that, like, because he never did nothing to me. So I ain't never felt the need to, like, down put him or uplift him, either or, like, you know, because I'm like, okay, I'm just stay out of it, you know, because when he get out of jail and he see where I'm at, he gonna realize that I ain't on that no more. Like, you know,
right?
I'm trying to change my life, like, bro. That's why I don't put gang shit in my music and stuff like that. I never diss no hoods. Like, I don't do that type of stuff because, bro, I'm not trying to be something that I know that I really don't want to live every day.
Mm.
A lot of these people be talking about being something that they really not, but a lot of these people that be this shit don't even be want to be this shit every day. Like, and for the most part, I ain't out here acting like I killed people or, like, none of that shit. I always got money. Like, I always wanted to get some money because I seen my daddy and them getting money.
Mm.
I ain't seen my daddy and them just killing nobody, especially when I came.
I mean, if you have talent, like the kind of talent you have, you definitely don't need to rely on that kind of gimmick type shit because, I mean, that's an easy way to get a million views and get attention and just be like diss a bunch of enemies or whatever. But at the end of the day, when you look at most of the people who are successful out of L.A., they didn't use that as a way to get up.
No, bro, no. Because then it's like when you portray shit that you're not, bro, you got to constantly fake it. You got to make sure you upholding this fake shit that you're doing. So it say a lot about your character and about your integrity. So it's like people could see that. Like other people, like you think people, I'm not the first person that came from these places and think like how I think and stuff like that. It's people that never been in these places that think like how I think. And people don't really understand that. But I know that because I grew up in two different environments. Like, but that's why I never really try to fall into that like stigma of just, okay, I'm just this gangsta ass motherfucker. Because I like to dance and shit. I like to sing. I be singing and shit. Like, girls play my music. Like, bro, I told myself, bro, if you really want to be honest, like, it got to a point to where, like, I knew that Project Buildings wasn't really helping me, bro. It was like, okay, I'm something right here to them, but I'm not really trying to shit on these people right here. So me being a rapper right here ain't really helping me because the more I try to shit on my people right here, the more they going to think, oh, okay, he think he this. And it's going to bring me, like, the type of response I don't want. So I was just like, okay. And I was already getting that just because I was playing, making music and other people want to be on the level that I am. And you feel me? And they thinking I'm supposed to be doing some shit for them, but they ain't even know it. It's kind of hard to hold together what I was doing at the time, you know? And it was like, I didn't add nothing. Like, and I was doing this shit and got to a point where I'm like, okay, I ain't tripping off that shit. And now I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not tripping off what nobody really thinks.
But so did you sign around that time or did you sign more recently?
No, I just signed about 2 months ago, like with APG.
Right.
And Eli and Mike Heron.
Right.
So I did that. I basically had everybody in the damn. I basically had everybody in the game, like every label trying to offer me a deal, but it was like,
was it mostly just because of self-esteem you put that out and that just became this thing that everybody started paying attention to?
Yeah, because it was like this thing, like, okay, because I know, like, bro, my whole plan was from October 2022, I was like, okay, from this point on, I'm gonna do shit that's only gonna make me look like my value is up, you know. I'm going to do shit now because I'm getting to the point where, okay, he had Project Buildings, made a song that it put me in people's ears like, okay, this him. But now, okay, I got to change my image up and I got to be clean and professional with my business. So I changed my whole image. And now I'm to the point where I can see this shit. And it was 2019. I remember it was 2019 and I first dropped that song and, bro, I remember the response I was getting. It was a response from LA only. And then, like, I'll go other places and they wouldn't know my song and they'd be like, damn. Like, so I started to get to the point where, like, if a motherfucker didn't know my song, I'm not finna tell you who I am. And I'ma live like that and I'ma get it to the point where now, okay, when I come back, you gonna tell me you know who I am. Like, if I see you again, like, I always be like, I'm gonna prove myself like I could do it. So I will always focus and I ain't never really like got caught up in the extra shit and all that. So for the most part for me, when I did that and I transitioned, I was thinking to the point, I remember sitting in my girl house one time, I ain't have shit, bro. I got kicked out of my mama house cause I fought her boyfriend shit like that. And so my whole family, like, stopped fucking with me and shit like that. Like, and it was crazy. So I was, like, over there, and I was just chilling. I mean, I'm like, man, I got all these niggas hating up on me that I didn't, like, if an end asked me to just do something for him, like, I just do it, like, out of the kindness of my heart, because that's what I am. I'm going to uplift somebody if I feel like you worthy of it, you know? I'm not just doing extra shit, but I'm like, damn, all this shit happened. I said, okay, I'm not going to make no more music for niggas. I'm not going to make no more music for dudes, bro. I'm going to make music for girls, because I said, I watched an interview with Tupac, and he said, the moment he started rapping about girls, that's when his music changed his life. And as soon as I start rapping about girls and uplifting them, man, my life started changing. My song went viral on every platform that you could think of. And I was like, Project Buildings didn't do that, because all dudes and shit was listening to that. they ain't buying my music in the projects.
Right.
You know? So I had to think from, okay, a marketing standpoint, too. Now I got to get smart. Like, okay, now I got to get strategic. I got to build a mini machine behind me. So I started going crazy on SoundCloud. And I'm like, okay, once I break these fucking songs on SoundCloud, then I'm going to put them out on Apple Music. And then that's when them motherfuckers going to go viral. And I kept doing that consistently to where, okay, my numbers start growing over time, because I'm building fans over time. I'm looking at my SoundCloud like, okay, the more fans I get, if I get 10,000 followers on my SoundCloud, and I could get a fan, each fan to stream my song 1,000 times, like, that's 1 million streams.
Right.
That it's around there, I know for sure, because I be doing my numbers. I be looking at all this shit, like, but I've been looking at it from a marketing standpoint now, because I know, like, okay, I knew people I could get in L.A. heard all day, Tommy the Clown, all of them. I get everybody to put my shit in the streets to where people going to actually hear. And I was doing that all that time. But I'm like, man, the world is not seeing me yet.
But how many songs did you put out between Project Buildings and Self-Esteem? Like, were you dropping, like, consistently, or are you dropping sporadically when you really believe in something?
2019, I dropped Oh My God Project, but 2020 I dropped like about I dropped about 3 or 4 projects, but 3 projects in that year, but like they had a lot of songs on them. Like, probably dropped between Self-Esteem and Project Building, I probably dropped over 100 songs, like, and I got over 1,000 songs recorded.
So then how did Self-Esteem start going up like that?
Self-Esteem started going up like that because I would promote it every day, and I would go put myself on shows. Like, people still, I could still get booked from Project Buildings. So instead of sometimes me performing Project Buildings, I tell them, let me perform this song, and you can pay me half of the money. And some people would do it, and some people would be like, no. And I'd be like, all right, just throw me on here with these artists, I'll do it for free. And instead of me performing Project Buildings, I just go everywhere. From January of 2022, I go everywhere and perform that fucking song and just perform that song.
So, like, you think it was just you pushing the fuck out of it? Do you think it would have done that if you hadn't promoted it so much?
No, it wouldn't have did that, because I remember at one time, like, it would go by like a couple months. Like, I was like, okay, it would do a couple, like, every week it'd do 10,000 streams. And I'm like, okay, this motherfucker gonna hit a 10K. So after a couple of weeks, I'm like, it hit a 10K. But I remember I didn't have a beat yet. I didn't buy the beat yet. And I tried to, like, monetize it on SoundCloud. And when I did that, somebody already had used the beat in somewhere else a long time ago. And I fucking did that, and they took the song down, and it had 100K. But I posted the fucking song back up, and it hit 100K within a fucking month again.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, okay, it's time to go. So I start doing, like, little interviews and little podcasts just to post on my Instagram, just to show them, like, I'm doing a little different shit. Like, I'm basically, like, rolling my song out myself.
Right.
Like, I even went on, like, a live stream with Caffeine, with Tommy the Clown, live stream performance 2 times. We had over 1 million people on there, and I was just performing that song in Project Buildings. And, bro, like, over time, by the time summer came, all the girls knew the song. So I would go to all the parties in the IE. I stayed in the IE because I'm like, I already got LA. Mm-hmm. I know I got LA. So I'll go to the IE And I be on all these shows and shit with R3 and S5 and all them, because that's all they was blowing up this summer.
That's just dope to hear about somebody making a record go viral, like, off just working it like that. Because a lot of times now it feels like everybody wants to have a TikTok or they... I don't know. Like, did you see that Kanye documentary on Netflix a few months back?
Yeah, I watched it.
That was one thing that stood out to me, is like, damn, he would just have these songs that he would just be working on and memorize it, rap it for people, just push it over and over and over. And that was, like, very inspiring.
Yeah, and you want to know, people probably looked over that Netflix interview, but, bro, me, I read books and shit like that, so my whole thinking is kind of different. I looked at that as if... A lot of artists nowadays, they don't look at the game how it was played back then when they was out. But all the labels is doing is the shit that they was doing for you, but you just think something different happening.
Right.
But it's the same fucking shit, but it's just on a different, it's a different time and it's a different way that it's happening. So they not realizing it's the same formula. If you're a rapper, you're a rapper. Like, it's the same shit, bro, but... A lot of people don't look at it like that, and I look at it like that. Like, I study all that shit because I feel like, even though that was a different time, that all that shit is important, you know? All that shit. So I always looked at it like, okay, I'm not going to just cut the legs off my songs. If I feel really strong about a song, I'm going to push that shit to the fucking moon.
What was it about that song that you felt strongly about, though? Was it just the numbers you saw coming in, or was it something that you just felt?
I remember walking around the room making that song, and I'm like, okay, I was going through some with my girl, and I was like, okay, I'm thinking from perspective of, I'm trying to really think from perspective of what girls be really thinking of dudes. Like, so I'm thinking like, okay, I'm gonna come from their perspective. So I remember writing this song, and like, yeah, they for me. But when I was listening to that fucking beat, bro, I ain't gonna lie to you, that's the thing about me. See, that's why my songs be all vibes, because I'm not really... just getting a beat, any beat, and trying to make it a song, a hit song. The beat got to be a hit to me before I even get on it. Like, I'm listening to the beat. The beat telling me what the fuck to say when I'm listening to it. Like, it's speaking to me. So that fucking beat was just, like, at a time, I'm like, I'm trying to build myself back up. And I'm like, every time that bitch a hit, it just made me feel like power. Like, she like, hit it. That's why I'm like, she like, hit it for me. She like, ooh. Because it was like, I'm a put hands in the air. Like, I'm doing all that shit because, like, bro, if where we come from, bro, the only reason why they probably kind of try to compare me and Greedo, because to be honest, bro, I don't really hear people tell me that I sound like Greedo, but then I know some people that do tell me, like, okay, you must have been inspired from Greedo because he made it over there first. And I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I used to listen to some of Greedo's songs, but that was my main thing. I'm like, I'm trying to sound different, and that's why I sound different than everybody from out the project, because I don't want Greedo not to like me, like, because I'm trying to sound like him, because that's making the rapper not like you. They ain't going to fuck with you.
That's like the number one way you're not going to stand out either, is just to, like, take the other hot rapper from your area and just sound like him.
And then one time I remember my grandpa told me, like, you can't never create success in another man's footstep. Like, you can't, bro. Like, his success ain't going to be the same as yours, bro. It ain't even going to come the same way that his came. So I try not to make my experience what I seen from Greedo or, you know, what he was doing and stuff like that. I was like, okay, I'm finna see what I'm finna do, you know? And that's what I mainly did. So I was listening to beats and stuff, bro, and That beat was, like, really a hit from me, and it was like, man, so all my beats I'm picking, like particularly, like, they got to be a hit because it's going to make me dance and shit. And I like to dance, so I'm thinking from a consumer standpoint, too, you feel me? Not just thinking like one of those artists that's just head up their ass about their fucking music and nobody else like that shit, and you the only person liking it, you know? I have songs to where I'm like, ain't nobody going to like this shit. You feel me? Because I'm real. Like, I ain't even one of these rappers that's just like, oh, trying to fake it like I'm a rapper. Because I think that's the number one thing that fuck it up for the good rappers. It's a lot of motherfuckers trying to portray that they rappers, but they don't really even love music, bro, or singing.
Well, they want the end result. They want, like, the fancy lifestyle and the girls and that's shit. But ultimately, the people who succeed are usually the people who really have something to say.
Exactly. They don't want to sit in the studio just loving it for hours and hours and hours and just doing it. Like, oh, okay, I'm going there. I'm trying to make me some hits. I'm trying to go back in the car, listen to these motherfuckers. Like, that's how I be, like, because to the point where it's like, bro, I know I could be at the top, but I just got to make myself better now. Like, I can't be wanting people to think I'm better. I'm going to be better, and you're going to know, like, okay, even if you tell me no before, I'm going to come back, and then you're going to be like, what's up? Shake your hand.
Right.
Pushing, because I already know what's up. Like, and that's the thing about it. Like, bro, okay, Greedo had his sound, and I'm like, I got my sound. So now I'm paving the way for my own sound, and I ain't really trying to do the shit that Greedo did. And it's like, Greedo is Greedo. There could be never be another Greedo. I'm Lambo 4, and I pay attention to the shit that make me special. And that's why I feel like I do get successful, because I'm showing the world something new. You know, we got shit in us that if we do it, some people be like, what the fuck? But if you really keep doing it and perfect it over time, people be like, damn, that's tight.
Mm.
Like, and I learned that about myself to where I had high self-esteem to the point where I could do some shit and just no matter what nobody motherfucking say, it's not going to dictate it or deteriorate me from it. You know, I'm gonna stick with it. That's why after I left from the labels and shit in New York and shit, after Project Building started to go like this, and then didn't have that same, they didn't talk to me no more, bro. I could have stopped doing music. I could have just walked away and started doing other shit, been in projects, threw away my life. But nah, bro, I kept working because this is where I wanted to be, you know?
What's working like for you, though? Is it just being in the studio, like, just recording over and over? Or is it, like, refining a couple of songs over and over? Like, what's your work ethic like, your workflow?
Okay, so, like, I got, like, a process to where, like, when I wake up in the morning, like, I'll listen to beats at night. And when I wake up in the morning, whatever beats I remember in my brain and it's making me want to, like, re-sing them, I'll do those beats, and then I'll write to them. And then whenever I got studio session, I go 12-hour blocks, and I'll go up in there. Sometimes I might, over the time, like, I might not go to the studio for 2 days, but those other 3 days I might go, and no, the other 3 days out of the week, no. So I might not go 2 days, and all the rest of the days, I'm going to go 5 days. Then I'm gonna go up in there and write all the songs I'll be writing, and then throughout my day, now I'm just writing little hooks and shit like that. And all I do is gotta write a hook, bro. And I go off the hook and I just build the song and everything else around it with my ad libs, make, and I'm using my voice as an instrument with my ad libs and shit like that. So I really, really, really be big with that with my style. So that'd be my whole process. Like, I make the songs, I make the hooks, I make a whole bunch of hooks, bro. And won't have verses for them and go to the studio. And I know as long as I got them hooks, the rest of the song gonna come out as a hit.
Right.
I'm just making these hooks a hit. As long as I got this hook a hit, I know I can make a verse because I'm gonna write this beat and it don't matter what the fuck I really talk about, you know? But I'm gonna make it make sense to my hook. But I'm, for the most part, I make music about fun shit and making people feel good or some, like, some fly shit or something like that, making people feel like, okay, they can win with the girl now, like, or some machine. It ain't the same experience if you moving how I'm talking in, like that. And so that's what I really be on with my music and shit like that, because I know, bro, like, as long as I be me, bro, I be all right, because I'm special in my own ways, bro.
You look at somebody like Blast as an inspiration coming out of L.A. right now?
Like,
because he's kind of doing like a combination singer-rapper type thing that is pretty unique and people really go crazy for it.
I feel like, I never really try to take none for people, but like when I really think about inspirations, I think about like Meek Mill and Nipsey Hussle, people like that, like, and Big and Michael Jackson's and all these type of different people. Like, but like, I feel like for Blast to be in his situation, he has his own sound and it's unique for him and he winning. So like, I fuck with that, and he coming out of the West Coast, so I got big ups to him. But I really don't be looking at like people like that's like really like in the same age group and shit like that. Like, it's my category, but I look at them like, I like y'all music and stuff. We both artists and we come from the same place and we winning right now. It's our time. Like, right. I look at it like that. Like, I ain't a hater. Like, I never hate on people, but I try not to really be too big on listening to other people's music and stuff like that, because I be listening to my music all the time because I'm trying to work and create new sounds, like, you know, and a new, like, new waves and stuff.
You consider
like
yourself more a singer or a rapper?
I consider myself more of a singer, but I could rap like a motherfucker because I started off rapping, but I always knew I wanted to be a singer, but I would never do it because I felt like I couldn't make it. It
takes more confidence, I think, to be a singer. It's more vulnerability.
Yeah, so I had to really, like, I ain't gonna have to lie to you, I had to break my ego all the way down to where, like, okay, man, I'm gonna be myself, who I really, really deep down inside when I'm at home and who I am, you know? And I'm a put that out there, and I'm gonna be real clear cut on it, because I feel like, bro, they already know that I'm from LA and I come from the project and stuff. But now I do music and stuff, I don't hang in the projects and stuff. I don't even, like, I show love, but I know that's not an experience that I want to create for myself over and over. And it's, I feel like that's what my dad meant by don't be like me. So now I got the chance to not be like him. I'm gonna take it in, because I ain't never been put on no hood or nothing like that. I lived over there, so I never had to prove myself to nobody or do nothing like that. So I ain't never had to really carry no weight on my shoulder, like I gotta just ride for the hood, because I knew everybody over here from when we was a kid. So I'm not pushing with that, oh, I got something to prove mentality. You know, I'm out here, like, my mind was always on some shit to where, like, I can live. I could be more than just from where we was at, because I used to listen to Lil Boosie and them and shit like that, and I used to look at them when they was making it and stuff like that, and it'd be like, man, like, they trying to inspire where they coming from, but then it'd be like, Lil Boosie went to jail, and I'm like, damn. That was used to be one of my favorite artists when I was little, and I'm like, damn, he went to jail, and I remember. I'm like, damn, what Webb he gonna do? That's what I was thinking in my head, because they was rapping together. Yeah. So when I was thinking about that, I'm like, damn, I see that shit, and I'll be like, oh man, I gotta kind of really do what I want to do, you know? Because I remember one time, like, somebody had told me, it's better to wake up doing something that you love to do every day than something that you hate to do every day.
That's what my parents used to say to me all the time.
Yeah, and I ain't even understand that at the time, but now I understand it, because I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. A lot of times I used to hang in the projects, bro. I used to feel miserable, bro. I used to be miserable, bro. I put myself in situations to where I don't even gotta put me in, you know? And they'd be like, man, I should be showing people that they can make it and not have to do this. Like,
how did the Choppa remix come about?
Shit, I ain't gonna lie to you. That shit came up when Self-Esteem blew up, and he reached out, like, he wanted to get a remix.
He reached out.
Yeah, he reached out.
That's dope.
He did that. They did it off of straight, him and ESTG. He did it. Shit, Lil Baby reached out to me. He about to send a feature back on Self-Esteem remix.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
Yeah, like,
we did this interview at the right time.
So, yeah, so it's like, they did that off the strength, because they, like, they see that I'm pushing, and they understand, like, I'm focused. Like,
but did you meet Choppa when he has been over to the neighborhood over there? Because he did the video with Block Boy over there, right?
Yeah, he did two videos over there.
Right.
Shoot, I would see Choppa and all that, like, but I was be at a time to where, like, my mom was in so much own music, and that's why I said I had to lead the projects and not hang out over there no more, because even if I tried to hang over there and still do this, bro, I'm be talking about all that shit, bro. So guess what? I'm be in that shit again. So it's like, bro, I had to start thinking, like, okay, I got to get my mind right so I can make it from over here. So for the most part, when I see Chop over there, my mind wouldn't really be on music, and it should have been. And I still go to the studio, but I wasn't progressing how I was supposed to at the time, because I was in focus in it. So when I see Choppa, I just play the background, you know, because I'd be like, if it was my time to shine, I wouldn't have to go and tell him who I am. Like, so I'm just like.
Then you had the song and you just reached out.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
Because I'm like, yeah, and you see, I thought like that, and it happened exactly the way I thought, and I trusted. I just had to push forward with my what I was going with and be real about it. Because, like, as long as I ain't talking stuff to nobody and none, or expecting nobody to do nothing for me, you know, I don't do songs with nobody in L.A. I do songs by myself, because I'm like, I can get a hit by myself. Mm. I don't need nobody else to make a hit. I know how what to do. I know how to push this. I know how to roll it out. I know how to, okay, stick with it. If I got a hit, I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to keep going. I got a lot more songs that now I got this sound. Mm. I'm finna take over because, man, I know what's going on now. Like, and that's why I feel like and then how I carry myself, I feel like that's why people reach out and they don't care about really doing it off the strand like that because they know they're not going to regret it. Like,
Are you planning on a project soon or something?
You
keep doing singles?
I'm going to do some singles. I'm going to do a couple more singles and then I'm going to hit them with a project. I'm going to hit them with a project. But I want to do a couple more singles because I just want to snap myself in the game now, like that I'm starting to get recognition and stuff like that. Because I know that the position I'm in right now, I can skyrocket all the way to the top. It's just how I uphold myself, like, and keep moving and manage myself and market myself and just how I move overall and generally, you know? And so that's what I'm really on because I know that my music is already on up there, you know? I just got to bring myself where the music is at. And that's what I'm more so focused on that mission to do right now. Because I know I can make hit songs, bro. But I just want to know that over time that I can grow as an artist.
You confident with the label and the machine that you got around you now?
Yeah, I'm confident. Eli, for sure I'm confident with Eli and them. I know Eli and Mike Karen going to ball out with me. And then, you know, you want to know something? Eli and Mike Karen really believe in me because you got to know. Mike Karen don't come go to people's video shoots. Mike Karen come to my video shoots, bro. Like, and because he know that I'm excited and he know that I'm running and they want to run with me. And they don't got to tell me to be perfect. They don't got to tell me to make TikToks. They don't got to tell me to do certain shit because I'm waking up every day like, okay, I got a responsibility.
How's your TikTok doing?
My TikTok? Oh, I got a couple million views on my TikTok. And it's about, my shit probably almost at 500,000.
It's just Lambo 4 on there?
Yep, just Lambo 4. And
I'm a big TikTok guy now.
Yeah, so I've been on TikTok. I just been marketing my song on TikTok. Like, because I'm not really, like, I never really been a TikToker to just make TikToks for other people's songs and other people's sounds and stuff like that.
Right.
I never was on TikTok for that.
But for now promotion.
But it's for my songs and stuff. I'm going to get on there and promote my songs every day because I'm doing something I love to do. So why not? It's going to get me in a better position. And that's why I push forward. Like, I don't mind going out and doing the groundwork to get where I need to go because I know if I have a hustle, I keep the same hustle mentality where I do everything in my life. I know if I continue to push myself in the right direction and I align myself with my goals, I'm going to get them. And that take me back to where I was reading books and stuff like that, like Think and Grow Rich and 7 Keys to Success and stuff like that. It's telling me how to turn this shit off and turn it on at the right time to where.
You definitely got one of the best heads on your shoulders of, like, young rappers I interviewed in recent memory.
Yeah, for real, bro, because I ain't going to lie to you, bro. I come from this shit, so it's like I never really care about glorifying it, bro, because it's like if I glorify this shit, now I might have to kill somebody virally, and I'm gonna go to jail for the rest of my life.
Right.
So I don't want to be in jail, bro. I don't want to be no thug. I don't want to be no goon. I don't want to be from nobody hood, like, or just pushing no hood, like, banging on nobody or nobody. See, bro, a lot of these dudes nowadays, bro, they only do that to make themselves feel how they think they should feel in their head, bro. And a lot of times that shit get them in situations. Why you think when people go to prison after they did the shit, they say, man, bro, like, my life changed. Like, I ain't on that no more. Like, or they try to tell somebody, no, don't never go to prison. It's because, bro, for a long time, they was living from where other people was thinking of them, you know? Instead of just going out here and creating something and being something in the world and just being proud of who you are, you know? Because I know, I put it like this. If a lot of game bangers push with the mentality of, oh, okay, even though I'm over here, I'm game banging stuff, I'm about to still go push and make something out of my life. I feel like a lot of hoods wouldn't be poor. It wouldn't be poor places like that no more. But it's a lot of people that like that they get caught up in so much stuff. It's like a lifestyle spin of, okay, I can't even think to go be on nothing else no more. Because I done did all this shit and I got to really think like this every day. And I've been in that space before to where, like, I was in a project for 2 summers, like, with Project Buildings. And it was just like, bro, I was just like, man, I'm damn near, like, doing shit that I told myself I wasn't gonna be doing. Like, you know, just hanging out and shit like that. Like, you know, becoming a possible target, you know? Mm. You know, just putting myself in places to where, like, if I know, like, at the time, if I would have been doing different shit with Project Buildings, I probably could have made Project Buildings blow up. But I didn't fully understand my situation. So I was feeling like I needed to be over there to blow up, you know? But to be honest, bro, me being over there didn't help me blow up. It really made my music, it made me go fall back off. And then I had to understand, okay, man, it's not about that. It's about me and what I do and where I'm at and how I'm presenting myself. And that's why I went back to the IE and I moved back. I went back out there with my mama and I stayed out there and I was doing music with everybody out there and doing shows and shit out there. I come back out here and do shows once in a while. But mostly I just stay out there, bro, because it was just like, I'm really about to change my life. I'm going to focus up. Like, I remember, like, bro, I slept in a car for a whole year, like, just to be able to stack up my money to make sure this was a good year for myself.
Damn, really?
Yeah, like, bro, I took that sacrifice, and that was the biggest sacrifice I ever took because I had to take that. I was still sleeping in front of my people's house, but I was sleeping in my car so I wouldn't have to pay them rent because I knew that I'm not trying to get stuck in a life loop, bro. I'm young as fuck. I know my parents didn't give me a chance to become something big, but I know that I can still if I'm thinking right. And I was like, I got a chance to really do something different. Like, it's just like going to school and making all A's and shit, like doing what you're supposed to do to get where you're supposed to go. And I think of it like that now. I got another chance to do that. So even though my mom and them didn't understand, I remember my mom telling me, like, you 24 now. You can't just keep trying to do this. You got a son. Like, you can't just be rapping, like, and ain't nothing happening. And I'm like, man, I'm finna make it by next year. Because I knew that I just had to do certain shit to align myself to make me break through that barrier I was under.
Like, your mom proud of you right now?
Yeah, my mom proud of me, like, because she know I finally got what I always wanted. So, and it's like, she know I really love music and stuff like that. And it's like, you got to know, for me coming out of my family, it's really rare, like, that I've made it, because for a long time, like, I remember, like, my family used to always be, like, living in fear, you know? They'd be like, oh, no, you shouldn't go do that because you gonna this. You shouldn't do that because I don't think you should do that. So a lot of my peers and people that I look up to, I never really seen them really live their life and really go experience stuff. Like, I got aunties that's 40-something that probably never been out of California. And probably ain't even really thinking to leave California or go see the world, like, you know, because it's just that. It was so stuck in that mind frame to where, like, everybody got to stick together in the family and we got to do everything that's going to help out here, you know?
Definitely. And
so, like, even, like, when I was growing up with my mom, like, it'd be times where, like, I had to help out with shit that I wouldn't even really use and do and shit like that. Like, I ain't watch TV and shit. I'm outside. And I had to go to work and spend my money on shit like this and pay my rent with my mom and shit and do shit like that. And it'd be like, what I really want to do, I could never really do it because I was always helping my mom. And it was putting me behind. Like, I could never save. I could never get ahead. So I was like, start creating a mindset like this how life supposed to be, because I wasn't here yet. I didn't know this was possible. So,
well, you're here now. Yeah. And I mean, I got a lot of belief in you. This is going to be... Yeah. This is gonna be big, and I'm loving the record. So, okay, definitely. What should everybody hit if they want to keep up on your stuff?
I feel like
TikTok, Instagram,
Instagram,
Spotify,
Lambo,
Apple Music, all that.
Yeah, all that at Lambo 4, LAMBO 4OE. It's all the same thing. And like, I got a lot of other music on there too. Like, if y'all want to listen to it, and
I was glad when I found out it was 4 and not 4OE.
4OE.
I thought you were like really into Old English for a second.
Oh, hell no. Hey, Alexa, say that when I tell her Lambo 4, playing Lambo 4OE. Yeah. I'll be like, all right, cool. I ain't tripping.
You're going to be hearing a lot of that for the rest of your career.
No, I know. But I noticed, like, a lot of people, like, they get confused with that and they just call me Lambo.
Yeah, well, like, that's simple too.
And a lot of people don't even know where my name came from. A lot of people always ask me on my live, so I'm about to tell them.
Okay.
My name came from Lambo because my son, I'm a Taurus. My zodiac sign, I'm a Taurus. So the Lambo car is a bull. It has a bull. So I was like, okay, it's a bull. Lambo. I made Lambo. Okay, number four, my birthday, the fourth month. So Lambo four. Mm. And I made it like out of my birthday. Like I said, oh, I'm gonna be real creative. Cause I said, I remember, I'm like, this nigga got a name called Lil Uzi Vert. I'm
like, any it's name hard. Could work, yeah.
Lil Uzi. I'm like, when I first, I damn, that's the bitch that I want. I remember when that first came out, bro. I'm like, and he had that first mixtape, and the girl, they came on, she's like, Uzi, are you up yet? It said something like that. I'm like, this nigga hard. I was fucking with that shit, but yeah, that's why I really created my name like that. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be unique about my career. Cause I remember at a point in time where I'm like, okay, I'm finna start. This is a foundation. I'm like, man, I got a long way to go, but I'm finna start and start doing it the right way. And that's why I just always drop music. I would never post freestyles and shit on my page and shit, cause I didn't wanna be labeled as a freestyle artist.
Right.
Cause I feel like people that freestyle and shit on Instagram and shit all day.
Puts you in a box.
It puts you in a box because when you get on the beat, you sound like you freestyling on Instagram, and people don't want to ride to that, bro. People want to really listen to a song that got substance and make them feel like you got some songs that you might drive the car and drive fast. You got some songs to where when you listen to them, you think about your girl or something like that. It'd be different little shit, bro. That's why I never put myself in a box. Like, for the most part, I remember when I first came out with my Alice, I'd be like, I have a lot of oohs and ahs in the background, but I was like first starting with it, so I didn't have it perfected. And a lot of people be like, he's screaming in the background, but it was just like, it was getting people attention, and I was stuck in a box, you know? It was a lot, because there's a lot of artists over there that didn't make it after Greedo. You know?
Right.
That came out of Watts, bro. It's a lot of artists that still rapping to this day, bro. And they probably not never gonna really make it big, bro. And it's because they can't overthink that part of it.
Well, it's your time now, man.
Yeah, so now I'm paving the way. That's why I'm speaking on it. Because I feel like artists portray an image to where, like, they trying to be the dopest, you know, in a sense, in a mind frame. Like, if you really do music and you in it, you understand, like, some people really think of it from a competition standpoint to where it's like, okay, I ain't gonna say I'm hating on this person, but when I see him do that, I gotta go do it or do it bigger.
Right.
Cause, you know, and that's how they be thinking. And I'm like, damn, okay. A lot of artists think from that standpoint, I'm gonna be different with my shit, and I'm gonna let artists know that you can't make it. But
you're killing it, man.
You can make it from nothing, too, because, bro, I didn't have nothing. Do you know, I never spent a dime of marketing on self-esteem, bro. I just broke it off my SoundCloud, bro, and kept.
I mean, it's good to see that still works,
yeah,
after all these years.
That
yeah,
because I ain't even gonna lie to you. I follow the same like method that Lil Pump was making. If you notice, my songs be like damn near 2 minutes or less, bro. And I'll kill a song in that matter of time because I'm trying to make you play it over and over and over and over and over again. But I'm not afraid to say that because I know I can go make a 2-verse song and make it long and still make it a real song, you know?
100%.
Yeah, so I ain't really scared to do that.
I believe, man. Lambo Fo, appreciate you, man. Everybody tap in. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Patreon, Instagram, etc. Like, comment, and subscribe. Appreciate you, dog.
Like Ice Cube.